I hate to interrupt all the good fellowship, but we have a service to get to and some good food awaiting us in a little while. So let's get started this morning. 348 in our hymn books. If we're born again, we've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Amen. So we'll sing about that. Redeemed. 348 in our hymn book. Services today will be a blessing to each one of us. Let's have an opening word of prayer, Brother Lance.
Father, we thank you for this chance to be together. We thank you for the fellowship we share and the love that we have for each other. We thank you for your Son, most of you, made these things possible. We ask that your Son would be lifted up today, that you give Brother Chris the words to say and encourage us, to bless our hearts.
Amen. All right, let's turn to 415. 415, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning
good to see each of you here today. Just want to make sure everybody is aware. Following the service today, we are going to have a meal downstairs. When I was down there, I was smelling a lot of really good food cooking. So hope you'll stay and be part of that. The church provides everything else, and all of you have brought some good food. So trust you'll stay and enjoy the fellowship and a good time together. And hope you'll stay for that. I hold in my hand a new calendar for the 2021 year, as the Lord tarries. We do not know how much longer we have. However, there is a stack there on the table next to the sound booth. Please pick one up. We have plenty. If you have friends, relatives, whatever, that live a distance away and would not be able to get one of these, and particularly if it's a case where somebody who you would have a lot of difficulty trying to get them to attend a service, they would refuse a gospel tract, the gospel's in here. And so and there's a lot of beautiful pictures with good, solid King James Bible scriptures on each day, or each month, I should say. So if you need some to give to people, please do so, okay? That's why we get them. They're a good witnessing opportunity. So they're there on the table in the back next to the sound booth. So hope you'll pick one up before you leave today. All right. Can't think of any other special announcements except for this. Our speaker for this next Sunday, it's been a long time coming. Brother Renzi is going to be back. We haven't seen him in a long time. So we're thankful that the Lord has worked that out, that he'll be coming up from Philadelphia where he lives, and he'll be here to speak to us next week. Hope you'll come and be with us. He's always a blessing when he comes, and he's what we know as a fiery preacher. That's always a blessing when someone loves the Lord enough and you can see it in how he lives and the way he speaks. So we're going to have a good time next Sunday. Hope you'll come and be with us. And then, of course, we always have our Wednesday prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. Hope you'll come and be with us this coming Wednesday night. Brother Dick Prue will be here. So I hope you'll come and be with us. All right. Don't have any other announcements that I'm aware of at the moment. So let's take our hymn books once again and turn to 681. 681. While you're turning, I will just remind you that our scripture memory verse that we're learning is found in the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verse 5. Hope you'll come. If you don't know it already, take a look at it and learn that. 681. Our next song, number 720, Jesus Loves Even Me. So this will be our final song before the special and the message. If you're able to stand, why don't we do so on this one? 720.
I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget Him and wander away, still He doth love me wherever I stray. Back to His dear loving arms would I flee. When I remember that Jesus loves me, I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in His beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be.
Song I would sing this morning, and after hearing Brother Chris's testimony and all the things he went through, the turmoil
that the Pentecostal movement brought on him, and then Brother Lance was talking to him about going through the same thing for years and years, and it made me think of this song, which goes right along with the song we just sang. No one ever cared for me like Jesus.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in Him a friend so strong and true. And I would tell you how He changed my life completely. Did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus, and there's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me, and he led me in the way that I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Now every day he comes to me with new assurance, and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know why he came to save me till someday I see his blessed face above. 'Cause no one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. Take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me.
Brother, for that special. I was sitting there thinking, I'm thankful that God loves me. Because I'll tell you, if it wasn't for him keeping us, I couldn't keep myself. And I'm just thankful that he loves me this morning. I'm thankful that he puts up with me. All the times that I let him down, the Lord is always there. And, I appreciate that special this morning. I want, before I begin the message, I just want to thank everybody for the hospitality. Thank you for the flying us up here. Thank you for the hotel room. Thank you for the wonderful dinner last night and the time together and the fellowship. You all have been a blessing to my wife and I. But if you take your Bible this morning, I'd like you to turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6 this morning. Something kind of I was talking about in the Sunday school hour through my testimony, and that's this idea. I won't be saying nothing new this morning, but the idea that that this world ought to see a difference in us. This world, when it looks at a true born-again believer, they ought to see something different than what they see out and about. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, the Bible says this. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you again for this morning, Lord. I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I pray, God, that you just give wisdom, guidance, discernment, and direction, dear God. Lord, that nothing will be said in the flesh, dear God, but all through the Spirit, Father, that you would receive glory and honor and praise. Lord, that we just draw closer to you in these last days. Help us to stay faithful. Lord, help us to finish our course and fight that good fight, Lord. And I just pray this all now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. The Bible says here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." So without faith in your life, the Bible here says that you have no opportunity in order to be a blessing and to be able to please God. Take your Bible, look over at Hebrews chapter, look at verse number 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith, your belief. The definition in the Webster's 1828 dictionary says, "The assent of the mind to the truth of what is declared by another, resting on his authority." Faith. When we look at this verse here in verse number 1, chapter 11, verse number 1, we see that there's two things listed. It talks about substance and evidence. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And how I want to look at it this morning, is there faith in your life that others can see? Is there faith in your life that's tangible, something that others could put their hands on and see a difference in your life if you claim to be a believer this morning? Is there faith in your life? Substance means this, means something real, not imaginary. Your belief in God, your testimony of God ought to be something that somebody can see, and that it's just not a figment of your imagination. And I'm afraid today many people claim the name of Jesus Christ, but there's no difference in their life, and it's exactly what this world needs to see today. They need to see a difference. When you're out and about, there ought to be a difference in your life. You ought to carry yourself differently. You ought to talk differently. Your attitudes ought to be different than the attitudes of this world. Just see just the simple thing with this COVID thing. The attitudes that a lot of Christians get about putting on a mask. Before, anybody said, "Well, no, I'll put myself right there in the front of the line. I don't like it. I don't like it at all." But it's not going against Scripture. By putting a mask on, you're not going against Scripture. And see, if you go in a store and they say, "Put a mask on," I ought to put a mask on because that's what they're saying, and not to bring a bad testimony if I claim to be a Christian. Because I ought to obey those that are in authority over me. Now, when it comes to the Word of God, if they say, "You can't read your Bible no more," okay, now I got to obey God rather than man. But there ought to be a difference. There ought not to be an attitude. Because of something that they may say if it's not against Scripture. Now, if it's against Scripture, we go with God. But if it's not against Scripture, don't bring a bad testimony. Even though your flesh despises it, walk in the Spirit. There ought to be a difference, okay? So, this first question here or statement is, it's imperative that Christians live a life of faith in front of others that is real and exhibits genuine godly love, so as not to bring a reproach to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, look over at Deuteronomy chapter number 32. Deuteronomy chapter number 32, verse number 15. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse number 15. Here are the children of Israel. God had brought them out, but they ran into some issues here in verse number 15. 32, 15. It said, "But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked, thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations provoked they him to anger. they sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came up newly, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and thou hast forgotten the God that formed thee. What I was asked this morning is that we don't forget the God that formed us. We don't forget the God that saved us. And we let our attitudes get in the way of some things that this world may be requiring of us to do, but it's not against Scripture. Take your Bible and look at Galatians chapter 5. Now, some of the things I'm going to look at this morning here in these next few minutes, to me, is sound doctrine. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 6. Sometimes I think some Christians look for things that are deep or something that somebody has never seen before in the Word of God, but we neglect the things that are needful in the Word of God. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 6. So remember what we read there in Hebrews talking about how without faith it's impossible to please God. And we talked about faith being the substance and evidence. Well, how does faith work? Look at Galatians 5, verse number 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. How does faith work in our life? How can we exhibit faith in our life? By love. Take your Bible. Well, I'll just read 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. 1 John 4, 9-12 says, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we should live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So we see here in Galatians 5, 6 that by faith, faith works by love. We find in 1 John 4, verse number 12, that the love of God is perfected in us by how? By the world seeing that we love one another. And I believe, I was talking to my brother last night, there are some churches that I've been in before, and as soon as you walk through the door, I don't know if you all have ever experienced this before in other churches or yourself, to where as soon as you walk in, you realize something's not right. Something's not right. There's a different spirit in here. It's different. There's almost like a darkness to it. And you're in a Bible-believing church, supposedly. And there was a church I walked into one time, and as soon as there's only two people sitting in Sunday school, the people that had us in weren't even there. And I said, something's not right here. And you could just feel tension when other people came in. You could just feel the tension in the church. I say, y'all are a blessing this morning to me. Y'all are a blessing to me. There's a sweet spirit in this church this morning. But the Bible says that faith is perfected. Love is perfected in us by what? Our love that we show towards one another. A love towards the brethren. Does that mean that we will always agree on everything? Absolutely not. No. No church is perfect. Just like no family is perfect. Just like no mother-father-child relationship is perfect, just as there's no husband-wife relationship that's perfect, you're going to have disagreements. But how do you work through those disagreements? Do you always have to get your way? Or can you yield and be humble? And allow God, look, if you're right, allow God to work your cause. Not you. Because if you're working your cause, you're in the flesh. And automatically that brings about a bad spirit. But if you're willing to humbly and step back and say, God, this is what I believe, this is where I stand, handle it humbly, and then let God work. Love for one another. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Here again we see faith linked up with charity. Faith unfeigned means it's a faith that's not hypocritical. It's a faith that's not counterfeit. It's a faith that has substance. It has evidence to it that somebody in this world can look at you and say, why are you the way you are? Why do you act the way you act? Can't you see everything that's going on in the news? Can't you see everything that's going on in our country? How can you still have peace? How can you still show love? How can you have a joyful spirit? How is this how current in your life? And it gives you an opportunity to tell them, it's not me, but it's what Jesus Christ has done for me. It's because I spend time in His Word. When I spend time in His Word, I find hope. I find help. I find relief. I find comfort. How many people we deal with today that are in a deep state of depression? Or they're anxious and they have anxiety because of everything that's going on around them? Spend time in God's Word. Read through Psalm 119. Just read through Psalm 119 and mark every time you see the word affliction. Or I've hoped. Or I find help. In what? God's Word. You know why I love this book so much? Because this book is my only connection outside of the Holy Spirit dwelling within me to God. Let me ask you a question. Some of you men have been in the military before. Have any of you ever received a love letter or a letter from somebody that you loved and you cared about? If you've ever received a letter from someone you loved or you cared about, especially if you were thousands of miles away from one another, you would read that letter as soon as it came in if you really loved them. As soon as that thing, you went to your mailbox and you opened that mailbox up and you opened up that letter and you saw it was from somebody you haven't seen in a long time, but you love them, you're separated by this distance, you wouldn't say, "Oh yes, I'll get to that Friday." No, you would rip it open right there at the mailbox. And you'd start reading through it to the mailbox. And then you'd get inside and as soon as you get inside, you'd read it again. And then later on, you'd read it again. Why? Because you love them. And you just want to take in those words because that's your only connection to them. You would wear that letter out if you really love that individual. Amen. Are you wearing this out? Amen. How many Bibles have you gone through? Is there pages falling out in your Bible because you're using it so much? Are the sides getting brown because you keep fingering through it and reading it? This is it right here. The Holy Spirit bears witness to truth. The Bible says that thy word is truth. I open up this book. I don't need to go to Bible college. I don't need to have a master's degree or a doctorate degree. I don't have to understand. I think you understand what I'm saying with this. I don't have to run to the pastor. Do you have a walk with God? You ought to, if you're saved, from the very moment you get saved, you're a new believer and you were just born today into the kingdom of God. There ought to be a difference, and you ought to now have the Holy Spirit within you that could now teach you, guide you, and lead and direct you with this word. If all of a sudden we were all separated and couldn't meet, but we had a Bible, you ought to be able to walk with God. You ought to be have a relationship with God. You're now His son. You're now His daughter. He's now your father. There ought to be a growing process, just like in a regular family with a dad and a mom. The same relationship there with the Father and with our Father in heaven. Amen. His Spirit. Let me ask you this morning: does His Spirit bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God? When you open up the pages of this book, there's things that sometimes just jump off of you out of the pages and say, "Well, I ain't never seen that before," because of the illumination of the Holy Spirit of God. It ought to. If that's never occurred in your life, if you're saying, "Preacher, I don't know what you're talking about," open up this book and start reading it and ask God to show you what I'm talking about. Amen. When I got saved, all of a sudden this book became alive to me. And the longer I spend in this Bible, the more I realize I don't know nothing about it. That was one of my fears of coming up here. And that's one of my fears of being a pastor, is because I don't know this book. And the more I try to figure out and learn this book, the more I realize I don't know nothing about it. If that makes any sense to you this morning. The more I know, the less I know. And I was praying in a hotel room. I said, "God, I don't know. God, it seems like my mind's just gone blank." It's almost like God, I said, "God, I can't think. God, I don't. Lord, I get questions asked me about this. Lord, I don't know nothing about the Bible. But it's one thing I do know is I know Him and He knows me." Yeah. And I love my God. I love my Savior. And I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ has put up with Chris Weldon these last 20 years since I've been saved. I'm not even talking about the time I was lost. Because you know what, brethren, there's been times in my life where I know what was right to do with God, and I still did what I wanted to do, yet God still showed grace and mercy to me. And I'm thankful for that. He's all glories. He's worthy of all praise. He's worthy of all honor. All to Jesus Christ. Because outside of Him, we're absolutely nothing. It's Him in whom we have our being. It's in Him whom we move and have our very breath this morning. It's all because of Jesus Christ and His grace and His love towards us. So because He loves me, I ought to love you, and you ought to love me, and we ought to love one another, and we ought to love the souls of this world. But it's easy to get an attitude. It's very easy to get an attitude if we spend more time in the things of the world than we do in the things of God. If we spend more time watching the television, if we spend more time on our phone, if we spend more time listening to what we want to listen to, instead of spending time with God, we're gonna act like the world, and the light's going to be dim, and they're not going to see no difference. This is it. But brethren, one reason I know it's true is because of how hard it is to spend time in it. The one reason I know this book is true is because how hard it is to devote myself to it and immerse myself into it, allow God to work through my life in it, because it's the powers in the Word of God. And the devil knows it. You know, the three times that the devil tempted Jesus there on the Mount of Temptation, each time Jesus Christ said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." Not for... The Lord could have looked at Satan and said, "Get out of my face, I created you, I ain't got to deal with you." And He was God, because He could have done that. But He knew that you and I can't do that. When a devil or enemy comes in and attacks our mind or attacks our thought, we can't look at the enemy and say, "Get out of my face, I created you, get out of here." We can't do that. So Jesus Christ gave us the key on how to get victory, and it is written, it is written, it is written. Standing on the promises of God. Though I might not feel it. Brethren, you might not feel it, but what does the Bible say? And you can take that and you say, "God, I don't feel it. The enemy, I don't feel it. But the Bible says this right here. And right now, I'm hanging on by a thread. But the Bible says this. And I'm resting in it. I'm resting. Even though I don't feel it, I'm resting in it." And if you keep doing that, eventually the Lord will bring you out of that depression. The Lord will take away that anxiety. And you'll start getting hope. You'll start getting help. You'll start getting comfort. You'll start getting peace. You'll start having joy, not because of anything you've done, but because of what God's Word's doing in your life. It's like a conduit. It's like a conduit that God works through. Allow God to work through your life, through His Word, through prayer, through coming together as the brethren, through singing, your whole life all about Jesus Christ. Faith. Faith that is unfeigned. Faith that is not counterfeit. Faith that has substance and evidence to this dying world. Colossians chapter 3 verse 14 says, "And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." You want to have perfectness in your life, you have to have charity. And I ain't going to look at it this morning, but 1 Corinthians chapter 13, all talking about charity. Charity vaunteth not itself. Charity is not prideful. Charity doesn't get lifted up. Charity is about everybody else but me. That is the bond of perfectness. 2 Timothy 1 verse 5 through 8 says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." That is sound doctrine, my brethren. Amen. Not how many toes are on Leviathan. Serious. No. You want sound doctrine, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. You don't hear that much in many churches. You can get up and give a nice topical message and go out the doors and feel good about yourself. But are you exhibiting the fruits of the Spirit in your life? That's sound doctrine. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, meekness. That is where it's at, brethren. And that's what this world needs to see. This world needs to see joy. This world needs to see peace. This world needs to see long-suffering. This world needs to see an individual that though everything's breaking loose in their life, they have a rock that they can hold on to. A life of faith enables others to see the truth of God's word and the reality of Jesus Christ in this present world. Look at Mark chapter 5 real quick, dealing with the story of the woman who came and touched the hem of the Lord Jesus Christ's garment. Mark chapter number 5, verse number 25. Mark 5:25. Mark 5:25, and it says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things and many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in a press behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?' And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and behold thy plague.' And while he yet spake, there came from the rulers of the synagogue's house, which said, 'Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master?'" This story here with this woman had the issue of blood. She's sitting there and that press is strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. And she's thinking in her mind, look, I've gone to the physicians. I've gone to this person. I've gone to that person. 12 years I've had this issue of blood and I've received no help. And here I hear of a man called Jesus, and I've heard of what he can do. And my thing is, in my mind, if I can just touch his clothes, I believe that I can be made whole. And so she's got in her mind that if I can just get him, and all these people are thronging around him, and she gets enough faith, she's putting faith in the action, and she goes up, and the action of faith, that substance, that evidence, she touches his clothes because she believes that he can heal her. And immediately, the Bible says, the blood was stanched and she was immediately healed. And the Bible says, though she, look at her attitude, look at how she came to Jesus trembling. Because she realized immediately there's a difference in my life physically. I'm changed. And immediately she's trembling at what had occurred. And the Bible says in Luke, the story that's in Luke says that when Jesus asked who touched me, everybody denied. And it makes me wonder if she even denied because she was just scared. But he looks at her, and when he looks at her, she comes to him and she says all the truth. Lord, I had this issue of blood for 12 years. And I believe, Lord, that if I could just touch the hem of your garment, that I would be made whole. And Lord, I touched the hem of your garment and immediately I was made whole. Now look how this goes along with Mark chapter 6, verse 56. Now I've tried to research this thing out and I don't think I've found it, but look at Mark chapter 6, verse number 56. "And whithersoever," talking about Jesus now, "and whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole." Where'd they get that from? Where did it spread abroad so quick that if you just touch the hem of his garment or touch a part of his clothes that you'd be made whole if you're sick? That woman. So you see this woman's faith in action, the substance and evidence of that. She touched his hem of his garment. She was made whole. That spreads like wildfire. Hey, if you can just get close to Jesus, if you can just get close to Jesus and touch the hem of his garment, he can heal you of any sickness. You see how that applies to your life? Sometimes we complain when we go through things. Why did my car break down today? Why did I get a flat tire today? Why is my husband sick? Why is this person happy? Why is it like everything breaking loose in my life and everything, nothing seems to be going right? It's for faith to be evidence in your life so that others that see your life falling apart, you come out, you got a smile on your face, you got joy, you got peace, and they're like, somebody major sick in your life right now? Yes. Didn't this happen to your kid yesterday? Yes. How can you be so happy? Because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ? Yes, because of Jesus Christ. You're talking about the same Jesus Christ that I hear on the TV? No. I'm talking about the true Jesus Christ. I'm talking about truly being born again. I'm talking about truly being saved. I'm not talking about religion. I said, really? Now, brethren, look, if they walk away, that's fine. Just keep living. See, today's Christianity, we want a quick decision. Will you come to church with me? You get saved? Let it be. Relax. Patience. I had a message I jotted down this morning. I was in a hotel room talking about patience. And the Bible says in Hebrews, you have need of patience. See, we want, patience. Just wait. Let God open the doors. They walk away. They're like, yeah, that happened. They go home. They tell their husband, hey, remember that day? Yeah. She's always smiling. Every time I see her, she didn't hear this thing that just happened on the news with this blah, 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 blah. And I go over there and they're still happy. They ain't complaining. They ain't murmuring. Look in Philippians, whole message on murmuring and complaining. That's sound doctrine. And the world needs to see a difference. And that lady provided a difference to her multitudes of people. Who's to tell how many people got healed by Jesus Christ because of that one woman's simple act of faith? Because of time constraints, I'll look real quick, just talk about the men that brought the man that was sick of the palsy, and they came to the roof of the house because they couldn't enter into the house where Jesus was at. And what did they have to do? They had to break through the roof. Some things to think about if you know that story there about their faith for their friend was that he realized he was a humble man. He said when they came to him with this man with the sick of the palsy, they had to uncover the roof, the Bible says, in Mark chapter 2. Now listen now, I'm almost done this morning. Are there things, look, you say, well, Brother Chris, there's some areas of my life where I'm lacking in faith. Well, is it because you need to uncover some things that are hidden? Look, they had to uncover the roof to be able to get to Jesus. And in some Christian's life, they need to uncover some things that they're doing in their life that ain't right. And make it manifest to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess it and make it right. They had to uncover. Then they had to break up the roof. Are you willing to be broken before God? They had to uncover what was there. Then they had to get broken. And when they were broken, then they had to let the man down. That means they had to come from a high place down to a low place. Are you willing to be humbled by the Lord God this morning? That was all in their actions of faith. The centurion also was healed by faith, or the centurion's servant, which was right after there with that woman who had the issue of blood. We're not going to look at it this morning, but that also dealt with faith. Another important aspect of faith is authority. Authority. God is big on authority. God expects us to be obedient to authority. I touched on it a little bit earlier on, to even those that are in government. Brethren, when Peter and Paul walked this planet, Nero was the man in charge of the Empire of Rome. And the last time I checked, I don't think there's any Christians in the United States that are being used as torches to light the streetways. Last time I checked, in this country, I don't believe anybody has been crucified for what they believed, or shot to death, or been put to death because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But those brethren were. But they still respected the authority. I believe it was Paul that says, speak evil of no man. That's a difficult thing, brethren. In our church, my pastor tries to pray for the President of the United States every Wednesday night because the Bible says to pray for those that are in authority. And it was a hard time for him praying for President Obama, but we prayed for President Obama. And we pray for an opportunity that somebody would present President Obama with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that prayer was answered, not only of us, but other Christians who were praying when he had that prayer breakfast when he was in office. And I believe it was Darrell Waltrip who got up there and basically laid out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with the president sitting right there. I'm not sure. There was one of those NASCAR drivers. Now, would I agree with everything that NASCAR drivers? No, but he presented the gospel. See, it's easy for us to get upset and mad because he's President Obama. But he has a soul. See, look. Christians today got to get out of this my mindset, America mindset, and get into God's mindset in a spiritual life. It's a difficult thing. Look, I don't like it no more than anybody else likes it, but he's in authority. And we ought to pray for those that are in authority. The Bible says to pray for kings and all that are in authority. Because God is a God of authority. Whether we agree with it or not, Lord, your word says it, I'm going to do it. Do I personally like the man? No. Do I personally care what some of his stances? No. But I'm going to pray for him. Why? Because that's what's more important is his soul and where he stands with the Lord Jesus Christ, not how he runs the country. Brethren, what do you say to people who are in Haiti? What do you say to the brethren that are in Haiti? Or what do you say to the brethren who are over in China right now? Will we be a bad testimony to our brethren in China? Because we get an attitude towards those that may be in authority and they look at us like we're crazy because they got communist government over there. We have a lot to be thankful for this morning. And there ought to be faith in our life. And there ought to be a difference in our life. We ought to have a love for one another and a love for this world. Why, brethren? If God thought like we thought, Jesus Christ would have never came to this planet. Well, I wouldn't stand a presence of President Obama. I wouldn't give him the time of day. Better be careful. Because God could easily look at us and say, yeah, you're a lot worse than he is. We're not as good as we think we are. And given the opportunity and given the raising that he might have had, we might have been the same way. We ought to be thankful. And God puts a premium on that. And I know a lot of people in this country wouldn't like to hear that. And again, I'll say, I don't agree with everything he stands for, probably not any of it. But at the time, he was a man in authority. And at the time, I don't remember him ever saying, you can't read your Bible. And I don't remember him saying, you can't come to church. I ought to have a right attitude towards, say, Lord, save his soul. Make him right. If Manasseh in the Old Testament could be made right and humble himself down, any president or governor or senator or republic or whatever can humble themselves down and get right with God. And Manasseh was sacrificing his own children to the devils. What kind of spirit do we have? Jesus Christ is our great example. The Bible says in that latter part there about faith, it says, by that the elders obtained a good report. Why? Because of their faith. They obtained a good report amongst themselves and with God. I'm going to close with this. We ought to desire a good report when it's all said and done. Look, I want to get home to heaven and Lord Jesus Christ look at me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's my desire. My desire is to finish this course to bring honor and glory in everything I do in this life to Jesus Christ. That Chris Welton would decrease and the Lord Jesus Christ would increase every day of my life. That's my desire. One of my fears is I don't want to get to heaven and have wood, hay, stubble. I don't want that embarrassment. I don't want to get to heaven and realize and look back, I wish I would have done that different. I wish I would have done this different. I wish I would have spent more time in the Bible. I wish I would have spent more time in prayer. I wish I would have spent more time walking with God. I wish I would have done that. It's too late. You're already there. But we all have an opportunity, because we're all still breathing, to do what God would have us to do in our life now. Because God ain't called us home yet. So there's a purpose for your life now. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. If you're saved, God's got a purpose for you right now, or else you would not be here tomorrow. He'd take you home. If you're here and you're saved, God's got a purpose for your life. Allow him to work your life in order to fulfill it. I'm going to close with Hebrews chapter 11 again, verse number 33. Hebrews 11, verse number 33. The same chapter that we read talking about, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11. I'm sorry. The same chapter says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. And call the faith chapter, and it goes through a bunch of believers' lives in the Old Testament, Moses and Abraham and Enoch. But at the very end there, it says this in chapter 33, verse 33. Says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the army of the aliens. Women received the dead raised to life again, and others were tortured and not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. That verse has always been something to me. I got to underline here that there were others who were tortured, but they had an opportunity to not be tortured, not accepting deliverance, though. Why? That they might obtain a better resurrection. and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered, and in dens and in caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report, through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Verse 39, though, and these all, having obtained a good report, through what? Through faith, having not received the promise. They obtained that good report because they had faith in what God's word said. The substance and the evidence. Is faith exhibited in your life today? If not, don't be discouraged. If not, don't get depressed. If not, don't hang your head down. Just make it right with God. Make it right with God. Lift your head up. Go out these doors and live a life of faith to this lost and dying world. Ask God to help you every moment to do what is pleasing in His sight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for your mercy. Lord, as many times in my life I get attitudes, dear God, and I pray you just help me with it, Lord. Many times in my life I get impatient. I pray you'd help me with it, Lord. And I pray you'd help these dear brethren, dear God. Lord, the fight is real. And Lord, just help us to stay faithful to you, Lord. If we get knocked down, dear God, help us to get back up, dear God. Help us to continue in the fight. Help us not to quit. Help us to stay faithful. And Lord, help us in those times, Lord, we don't know up from down, to go and open up your word to find comfort and help in a time of need. Lord, I pray you just help these brethren, Lord, and the rest of this week, Lord, just to live and to be a testimony for you to this community. And I pray that everything that was done this morning will be said and done for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There was a song, brother, if we could sing it, page 428 in the hymn book, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Let's turn there.
I tried and failed to resist some temptation.
our biggest battle in this life is trying to do everything by ourselves. We forget who bought us and try to do everything ourselves in the flesh. And regardless of whether it's work for God or not, it's not going to profit us anything if we try to do anything in the flesh. So we need to leave the work of the world alone. We see that in 1 John chapter 2. But beyond that, if we're trying to do God's work, if we do it in the wrong way and in the flesh, there's going to be some catastrophic occurrences as a result of it. Obviously, we all know the story in the Old Testament of David trying to move the Ark of God back to Jerusalem, and they put it on a cart instead of carrying it with the poles like Moses had been instructed to do. What happened? One of the men touched the ark to keep it from falling off, and he was instantly struck dead. And David was upset. And for that reason, the ark was not moved for years. I think it was 7 years later before it was finally moved. Just because they didn't follow the word of God and do it the way God said. We need to take heed to that and make sure that we follow the word of God too and do what's right before him and do it through the power of the Holy Spirit and in the Lord Jesus. If we allow ourselves to be cut off from the branch, we're going to be not fruitful. All right, we'll have a closing word of prayer, and this will double as the blessing on the food. And when we get downstairs, ladies, go right ahead and get yourselves in line. There may be a little bit of a delay to make sure all the food is prepared and ready, but as soon as it's ready, ladies, you can go ahead and get in line and get ready to have some good food. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to be here today. We thank you for the Weltons and their willingness to come and be with us. We thank you for the safety that you gave them in coming. And we pray that you would give them safety on their return home. And we pray that you continue to use him in the ministry you have for him with the dealing with the those that are struggling and have difficulty with disobeying the law and so forth. Pray that you continue to use him there and as he has opportunities to witness to these young men and young women and also those that he works with. Pray that you continue to guide and direct him as you see fit. We pray for us here too that we would do what would please you and honor you and that our heart attitudes would be right before you and we'd do things with the right motive and that we would do so for your honor and glory and not for ourselves. And we pray that we would not operate in the flesh, but rather operate in the power of your Holy Spirit through the Word of God. And thank you now for our time of fellowship together. We pray that as we are partaking of our food, that you would receive the honor and glory even there. We thank you for the men and the ladies that prepared these foods for our benefit. We pray that you would guide and direct in all things. We thank you for our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.